On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the obedience test on this series that we simply titled, These 7 Tests Will Strengthen Your Faith on Soul 02. And welcome to Soul 02. This is the podcast that is putting the oxygen back into the Christian life one soul at a time. And I'm so happy to be with you. And there's a quote that I want to start with by C.S. Lewis about obedience, because obedience, when the Western mind thinks about obedience, it's like this awful thing. And C.S. Lewis once said, obedience is the key that opens every door. And that sounds foreign to a Western mind, because in our minds, it's like, no, my hard work does it. My own strength, my own wisdom, my own street smarts does it. And in this series, we're kind of focusing on Abraham, because he's the one that kind of went through these 7 tests. And I'm sure there's other people in the Bible who went through these tests, but Genesis 12, 1 through 9, I'll read them very quickly. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Imagine that, right? Abraham took his wife Sarah, or Sarai at that time, and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land, a place called Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To you, or to your offspring, I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, and he who had appeared to him, for there he moved on to the hill country, or from there he moved on to the hill country on the east side of Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on by stages towards the Negev. And I read all that scripture just because it's important that you know the story of the context of what we're sharing today about obedience. Dr. Thomas A. Terrence once spoke about obedience and said this: "Obedience is not a positive word these days. For some, it seems cold and harsh. For others, it carries overtones of legalism in religion or control in other venues. Perhaps for all of us, it challenges our inherent drive toward autonomy and the individualistic bent that pervades our culture. As Americans, we do not like anyone telling us what to do, not even God." And isn't that true when you think about obedience, that maybe in your mind, that's an arcane word? It's like, man, no one uses that word anymore. That's like the old days. That's legalism and stuff. Yet, in the scriptures, obedience is an absolutely relevant thing even today. And in fact, I want to make this point today, that lack of obedience can be what keeps our lives from flourishing. That maybe there's a place in your life, or in my life, where I'm not obeying God, where I know what I ought to do, but I'm not doing it. Where I've read the manual, but I'm not doing what the manual says. And so I'm suffering for it. And even Jesus grappled with the problem of obedience in John 5:40. When he confronted the leaders who were trying to get him, you know, the hypocritical leaders, he said, "Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Imagine that they knew he had the keys of life, but they wouldn't come to him because they had to be right. They had to control, things through the law. And Jesus, his call to repent and believe in Mark 1:15, are two words, they're two Greek verbs that are imperative in mood. And so they're not suggestions, they're not, nice ideas, lovely ideas, they are commands. So there is obedience in the scriptures. And Romans 1:5 Paul says this, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name. Do you see how that is, that it brings about the obedience of faith? And so even non-Christian people see Christianity as a religion of obedience. Eric Hoffer wrote a book that I read when I was in graduate school years ago. It was a great book, really. And it's all about the history of mass movements. It's called The True Believer. And he said that Christianity is more radical than any movement in existence, including communism. And it's so radical that he says, I quote, whoever proselytizes or preaches in his name, in Jesus' name, right, is a homewrecker. So even non-Christians recognize the demands of obedience that Christianity brings. And so what does obedience entail, especially in Abraham's story? And then, you know, when you hear what happens, you can relate it to your own life, right? But the first thing it entailed was separation. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and from your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. In other words, leave the places of comfort, the places of security, the place where you're familiar with everything, where you know everybody, where you have a niche, where everyone knows your name, right? And go. And not only is he telling him to do that, but he's 75 years old. Most people are retired at 75 years old. This also assumed that Abraham was to surrender his idolatry. And this came from his generations of idolatry. That was just the way it was in those days. People served many gods and they didn't know any better. And that's why we read later on in the scriptures and how he first invoked the name of God. He was giving up his idolatry. He was saying, okay, I see that there's one true God. And so in order to go, we must first let go. That's what it means. That's what it means to separate. That there are things that if God is calling you to one place, on a journey, that you have to separate from other things. But the second thing about obedience in Abraham's life was sacrifice. And in Abraham's story, there are at least four altars that we know of that where he sacrificed. And each sacrifice he made marked a part of the journey of thankfulness and of encounter with God. And F.B. Meyer put it beautifully about altars. He said, each step of real advance in the divine life will involve an altar on which some dear fragment of the self-life has been offered, beneath which some cherished idol has been buried. And who could say it better than F.B. Meyer? But anyone can attend church and say, you know, I love Jesus. But what does it really mean when God is calling us to sacrifice something for him? To give up our old lifestyle, to give up our old sins or things that we're worshiping that have nothing to do with God. And hence, it has been said by Leonard Ravenhill that a Christianity that costs nothing does nothing. So everyone has altars. We all have them. But it depends on who your altar is built to. Is it built to God or is it built to some idol that you're worshiping? So the third thing that it required was work. Work. And we find that following God is not some effortless idea that simply happens and God just showers your life with grace and there are flowers and everything's perfect and you don't have to do anything at all. God does it through you, not for you. And Abraham had to drive his large flocks, move his massive tents and all of his furnishing and possessions and many, many people, hundreds of people, and travel 600 miles from Ur to Haran, and then to Canaan later on. And this was necessary to do if he was to obey the call of God. So part of obedience is hard work. We can never be passive when God commands us to do something active. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. Do you see how grace and work are together? Now, when we say work, we don't mean work for your salvation. We mean that real grace produces natural works. And these works don't justify your salvation, but they're natural fruit that comes from obeying God. But the fourth thing it requires, this obedience, is faith. And that's the big one, right? Abraham ventured into a land he had never seen before. One that God said, well, just leave and I'm going to show you on the way. Now, there are two kinds of people. People who like the whole map and they want to see every stopping place and, you know, where the bathroom breaks, where the places we can eat. Then there are those who say, let's just go. And so for those who say, let's just go, this would be a little easier for you to stomach than those who are the type A planners. And we find that Hebrews 11:8, speaking of Abraham, says that he set out not knowing where he was going. It makes that significant point that he didn't know where he was. He didn't have a 5-year plan. He just went because God told him to go. God did not tell Abraham everything at once. It was one piece at a time of the puzzle. That's what faith is. Faith is trusting God with a small piece for today or for your season until he gives you the next piece. And we live in an informed consumer society that, right, people are savvy, man. They research everything before they buy. They're like, well, I saw this on Amazon, or I saw this on this, you know, this store or this, and I can get it way cheaper, the same thing. And, you know, a lot of reviews and all this. And so we tend to like a prepackaged plan that outlines the destination, the route, the purpose, the cost, and every step in between. And that's, I think, most of us, really, especially when God is commanding you to do something that's going to be uncomfortable, unfamiliar, and just outright scary. And so, F.B. Meyer says it beautifully. He says, God gives us promises, not reasons. And so we have to understand that if we are to really follow God and obey him, we have to just trust his promises and not worry about figuring out why he wants me to do this. Or just do it. So what did obedience look like in Abraham's life? And I'll keep this brief because we're going to bring it in here for landing in a few minutes here. But Abraham went wherever God told him to go. And he didn't go to places that are convenient or because they had lovely beaches or nice people. His question was not, what do I want to be? But where does God tell me to go? And he saw his whole household, all of his possessions, as belonging to God. And he led his home like Joshua, who said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In ancient cultures, children were not given a choice in the matter of serving God. They just went and they're like, yes, sir, yes, yes, ma'am. But also Abraham only took his immediate family and his nephew. And I said earlier that he took hundreds of people. I was incorrect. He became hundreds later. But it is possible that had he taken everybody, that it would have taken a lot longer to get there and it would have been much more difficult. So some roads we have to take trimmed down or even alone, especially when God is saying, I want you to go here or there, because they can't go where you're going. But also Abraham persevered. And this is an important part. It says that he departed. It says that he set forth. It says that he passed through. It says that he moved. And it says that he journeyed on by stages. So this gives you a snippet of Abraham's life, of his obedience, that he departed, he set forth, he passed through, he moved and journeyed on by stages. That's obedience. It's not just stopping. But what comes after obedience? What happens when you obey God, right? Hopefully there's a blessing. Hopefully there's a rainbow on the other end. And let me just leave you with this last thought. Here's what comes after obedience: revelation. Revelation. We find that after he started the journey, right, in verse 6 of chapter 12 of Genesis, Abraham passed through the land of the place of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. And so God now expands the revelation and he says, then the Lord appeared to him and says, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So imagine this, that God First, he says, just go, and I'm not going to tell you where you're going, just go. Now he's saying, after he obeyed, he got more revelation. I'm going to bless you and your offspring. So Abraham obeys God, and God gives him a little more revelation, along with the future for his posterity. And just as Abraham journeyed in stages, God reveals his plan to him in stages, just as he does that for us, right? He doesn't just show us the whole plan. He says, okay, take a left here and a right there, and now go straight. And then I'll show you the next, you know, the next point after you go straight. Okay, take a left. After that, okay, now take a right. But our human nature wants to know everything. But I got a feeling that if we knew everything, we'd probably have a medical episode, because it'd be too stressful when you see what's on the journey. So is there an area in your life where you have stopped flourishing because you've stopped obeying? Is there a place in your heart, in the depths of who you are, where you have seen a lack of movement because there's been a lack of surrender to God, of doing what he's telling you to do? And maybe we're like the rich young ruler, that we did everything right, except there's this one thing that we lack. So if you like this podcast, leave a like, or if you haven't subscribed to our channel, and check out the website, souls02.com. And we are also on YouTube. Check us out on YouTube. We have a lot of podcasts there now. And on the website, we have articles as well. And check us out on, we're on Stitcher, we're on Google, we're on Buzzsprout, and other audio sources. So be blessed today, and have a great one. God bless you.